But when I see in the church today this idea of love is love, this DEI, the diversity, equity, inclusion being inserted in the church, that is the wooden cross being painted red. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. My friends, we're going to talk about the Red Cross today, and not the Red Cross that maybe you think of with the humanitarian organization. No, I'm talking about the Red Cross. The Red Cross is the communist's subversion of Christianity. Now, this is going to be a show filled with both politics, religion, and we're going to tie everything in full circle, and I'm going to show you some receipts. I'm not coming today with just intellect and things you can look up. We're going to really break this down. I've done this extensive research on this topic. And if you disagree with the things I say, that's totally fine. But you can't refute the facts that we're going to discuss today. So, I don't expect everybody who listens to this show to watch all of my content. I put out quite a bit. But there's a show that I did a while ago about me reviewing a rainbow flag church, a LGBTQ friendly church. And when I looked at this video and I saw that they associated love with the flag of the Rainbow Rider community, I said, wait a minute, this is happening in a church, not in the community center, not at the pride parade. No, this is happening in a church. And I said, I gave you my straight up opinion in that video. I'll tag it. I'll put it up right here. I'll put it up right here for you if you want to go watch that. But I think it's time for me to really break down where I stand on this issue. Because at the end of the day, the reason why I'm opposed to the church today is because the church has no teeth. The church is a bulldog with no teeth. There used to be a time back in the day when the Catholic Church was way more powerful than it is now. Now the Pope might as well just be another guy with a blue check mark on Twitter. But back in the day, the Pope was the kingmaker of Europe. And Europe was the most powerful continent on the planet. And so when we look back at those times, and the church had holy orders, Knights Templar, Knights Hospitaller. And now we look at the fact that the church doesn't have the authority it once had. And I'm not telling you we should live in a theocracy. I don't think we should. I don't want to live in Iran. If I wanted to live in Iran, I'd go live in Iran. But I don't want to live in Iran. But the problem I have is, here, I'll pull this up for you. I pulled this up. Here, I'll share the screen. Look at this. I wrote this down a while ago. I've done multiple shows on this, but I'll read you what it says. So, those of you who know who Herbert Marcuse was, Herbert Marcuse was the founder of the Frankfurt School of Marxist theory. And for those of you who don't know who he was a celebrated left-wing intellectual back in the days after World War II. But he didn't like how popular he was becoming because he didn't want his message to be associated with him. But this is what the Frankfurt School of Marxist theory put forward. Said instead of outright revolution like they did in the Soviet Union, like they did in China, Vietnam, the list could go on and on, Cuba. Instead of outright revolution and social disruption, the left would allow society to continue exchanging goods and services and to defend the nation. While they, the left-wing intellectuals, aka the professors, the senators, the congressmen, the historians, the people who you would associate with a lot of these views that are pushed forward about equity, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, all these people who use this friendly language to push hatred towards people who don't agree with them, those are the left-wing intellectuals, would take charge of education, manipulate the population with media propaganda, corrupt morality through the entertainment industry, sound familiar? And infiltrate government bureaucracy at all levels. Now, you could also add to that the fact that now they are also infiltrating the church itself, because the church no longer has the meaning it once did. They don't have the strong backbone they used to have. Because here's the problem. When you look at religion and you look at any religious text, usually there's a life code, whether it's the Ten Commandments, whether it's the Hadiths, or whether it's the Torah and the 12 books of Moses. It could be any one of these things. These all come with rules that you're supposed to follow to truly be a follower of this religion. You can't really do that in modern society anymore. And people want to conveniently leave out the cultural context of the time. I'll give you an example. Marriage. I love talking about relationships on this channel because relationships are the most important decision you will make in your entire life. You choose a good mate, you will have your life set for yourself, your children, and your grandchildren. But if you don't, and the wrong person is allowed into your life, you will be the generation below them and the grandchildren, if you have any, will be fractured. And you will lose the generational wealth you give to them. You will lose the stability. You will lose the healthy environment. You will lose all of that and more. And the church was the last bastion of hope, really, for what you might call the capitalist society. Marx and Engels, the Marxist theory aspect that Herbert Marcuse pulled from, they called religion the opium of the masses, the painkiller of the human. Because it wasn't useful when it came to theology, it was useful for exploitation and for keeping people docile and subservient to the state. That's what he saw them as a purpose. And so let's go back to this list. Look at this list. This is exactly what Clinton, Obama, and Joe Biden have succeeded in doing, and that's just the executive branch of government. We could go on talking about Ted Kennedy, may he rest in peace. We can go on and talk about the Supreme Court. We can talk about all these different governmental agencies, but the point remains the same. We look at society 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 10 years ago, and look at the garbage that we have in society today. Look at the garbage that passes for entertainment. Look for the sewage that even comes from the mouths of the shepherds in the church. When we have children being taught that love is love, without them understanding that what love is, what it looks like, how to actually achieve it, and you just push forward happy emotions and glad tidings under the guise of being a good person, instead of saying that you're using it as an exploitative endeavor, you're doing a disservice. And my friends, it gives me a headache to listen to this garbage. It really does. And yet, I have to listen to this because I think it's important for me to understand what the enemy is doing, why they're doing it, how come they get away with it, and how come you, the average American, how come you, the intellectual who's not left-wing, how come you don't get published, you don't get your voice heard, you get censored, but the left-wing intellectuals, no, they talk about some useless crap. They talk about something that would never translate outside of an academic environment. They get a platform and you don't. You have to build your platform with the screws and the nails and the wood and the plaster. And even then, someone could come by and set it on fire and no one's going to help you. Versus they show up, the stage is built, the audience is there, the microphone's plugged in, and they're there just to get it on. That's what we deal with today. Let's go back to them. To further advance their quiet social revolution, the Herbert Marcuse School advised the following, and I'll read them to you. It says, the creation of racism offenses. In other words, whenever something happens and someone is a different shade than the other, scream racism. Sound familiar? Number two, continual change in the country to cultivate confusion. That kind of sounds like what happens with the churches that fly the rainbow flags, doesn't it? Because now, they're never going to understand that when you read the Old Testament, God specifically says that That type of behavior is forbidden according to religious law. It is a sin. Oh, but they don't want to portray it like that. That's not a sin to them. And my friends, there are some things that can account for cultural context, and there are other things that are not. There are explicit statements that you cannot change because they are part of the religion itself that you cannot change. There are first tier, second tier, and third tier pillars of faith. And one of them is this idea that the family is a image of what we will see in heaven. But for some people, they say, oh, forget it, we don't need all that. See, it's one thing to adjust to the culture. When I talk about being a biblical bachelor, I don't say that because marriage is bad. No, marriage is good. I wish our marriage was better, but the fact is, with the laws we have today, you're more likely to get divorced than you are to stay married. And even then, if you stay married, you're more likely to have a sexless marriage where you have to basically go through all these hoops and hurdles to get your wife to sleep with you. And that's the uncomfortable reality that people don't want to talk about, especially married men. But when I see in the church today, this idea of love is love, this DEI, the diversity, equity, inclusion, being inserted in the church, that is the wooden cross being painted red. That is exactly what they are doing. They are subverting and continually changing the doctrine of the church to cultivate the confusion. My philosophy is not confusing, but they want to constantly brainwash the children to think that, oh, it doesn't matter, God loves everybody. Okay, does that mean everybody's gonna go to heaven? No. Does that mean we just spit in God's face? Why didn't God create two men at the beginning of creation? Did I ask the question? Yeah, the hell I did ask the question. Why didn't God give Adam Ethan instead of Eve? Do I want to ask that question? Oh, you know the answer. But yeah, you go to these churches and guess what? They won't tell you that. No, they won't do that because that's hurtful. That's not allowed. Well, go write the FCC if you don't like it. Get me canceled. I don't give a damn. My friends, the reason the church is going up in flames is because we are not saying no to people. We are not putting our foot in the sand. And not only are we accepting people, our acceptance is being used as an avenue of exploitation by insidious characters. My friends, I would love to hear what you got to say about this, whether you're religious, not religious. I know people who are not religious, but they like the religious people because they make them feel better and they make them feel like they're living in a virtuous society. So whether you're a religious person or not religious person, you have a horse in this race, or you're kind of just on the sideline watching, maybe betting on the side, please, I'd love to hear what you have to say. This is a very, very important situation that's sensitive to some people. So I would love to hear what you have to say if you want to add anything. If you want to call out fair or foul what you heard, you're welcome to do it. You can go on over to my Twitter page, @SheepGetSheared. You can go over there, DM me directly, or respond to any of the posts that I put forward. Or, my friends, I leave it up to you to do your own research and decide whether you want to agree, disagree, and you never have to take my word for anything. Ever. Do your own research and think for yourself. My friends, you take care of yourselves. I'm out of here. Peace.